Oh, absolutely. Appreciate you having me.
All right. So going into the combine, give me a couple guys that you think have the most to gain at the combine and a couple guys that might have the most to lose at the combine.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest headline that I'm kind of watching at the combine is I think that there is a lot of questions right now about the cornerback position as far as what is the pecking order right now. There's a lot of guys, it seems like, in the you know, high mainstream that kind of have a little more, you know, plugged in type of information, like the Dave Brugers of the world, Mel Kuypers, Todd McShays, that think that Ahmad Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati is kind of the perceived guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we've kind of been in the world where, you know, Derek Stingley's been the talked about guy at LSU for the last few years. I love Andrew Booth Jr. personally from Clemson. He's my top guy. And I think that when we're talking about separation in this class at cornerback, we're going to see after the class if there's guys that are, you know, somewhat packed together as far as similar grades, then, you know, Derek Stingley running a 4.3 compared to maybe another guy running a 4.41 is although a 4.41 still a fantastic time for, you know, any corner, the fact that, you know, there's just a little bit of separation in some of these testing numbers, I think, is just going to dictate a lot of what the pecking order is. And then if there's some of these corners like the Trent McDuffies of the world out of Washington, or even Sauce Gardner, maybe doesn't test as well as other people think, do some start to second guess their evaluation. I really think that we're just going to kind of see that cornerback board reordering itself a little bit. And I mean, honestly, when we're talking about the testing numbers, sometimes the testing for certain positions is a little overblown compared to others, but cornerback and wide receiver are two of the positions that the testing absolutely does matter, because they're just going to be increased space, and it absolutely matters how well they run, how well they change a direction, that type of conversation.
You reference wide receiver. How can Jahan Dotson fit into this scenario from Penn State?
Well, I think that the biggest thing for Jahan is the film this past year was fantastic. I admittedly went in out of the summer, and I was a little lower comparative to some people on him, just because I felt like the year before they used him a lot more as, you know, you're going to kind of win in the air and you're going to be more of an outside catch point type of guy. And this year I felt like he was a lot more nuanced in his route running, was able to create a lot more instant separation. So you want to see those testing numbers kind of validate what you saw in film this year. So I want to see his short shuttle be a great time. I want to see his three cone. I want to see the change of direction stuff be really good. And then he's supposedly going to be a, you know, potential 4.3 type of athlete, you know, based upon everything you're hearing with his track background in high school and all that good stuff too. So for him to separate himself, he's going to have to validate what you saw in film this year with the short area stuff and then his ability to win vertically with the speed. So if he's able to test and just kind of check off those boxes, I think first round conversation is very warranted with the film that he put out this year.
A guy that came back this year for Penn State as well was Jaquan Brisker. I felt like this season he was one of those guys that, in coming back, he actually improved his draft stock. Where does he fit into this puzzle?
Jaquan Brisker is one of my favorite players in this draft. Another guy, admittedly, that I was a little lower on coming out of the summer, but I thought that his season was absolutely fantastic. I had like a early day three grade on him coming into the season. I have a firm second round grade on him, and I think that he has definitely been one of the bigger risers, because you always knew that he was very athletic. You knew that the talent level was there. I just felt like everything was just so much more consistent. I felt like he became more of a proactive player in zone, really, you know, forced a lot of takeaways, obviously, this year. But then also I felt like the tackling was more consistent in space. And he has the ability to be a striker. He's got a lot of physicality to him. And I think that he just checks a lot of boxes. And honestly, if you told me that when April comes around, the end of April, when the draft kicks off, if you told me that, because everybody knows Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame is going to be the first safety off the board.
Hamilton's terrific.
Yeah, Hamilton's obviously in a tier of himself, but if you told me that there was another safety that snuck into the top 30 selections and was selected in the first round and was maybe the second safety off the board and it was Jaquan Brisker, I wouldn't doubt it, because I think that he just checks a lot of boxes, and I think he's a player that a lot of teams really like. I mean, even dating back to last year, I mean, he had a Senior Bowl invite that he left on the table because he wanted to come back and he wanted to prove something.
Right.
So I think he's put himself in a conversation to maybe be in the second safety off the board potentially.
Yeah, because I felt like Dotson and Brisker both improved their stock by coming back. It doesn't always happen, but they both did. All right, now let's get to a guy that I think, look, when it comes to the combine, he's going to blow everybody away in terms of size, body fat, the whole, you know, speed, the whole deal. but I think is somewhat of a mystery to some people, you know, not here because we see him, is Brandon Smith, the linebacker. What's your read on him?
He's a funky player, man, to be very honest with you. Because last year, I mean, first and foremost, like you kind of illustrated, the kid looks like $1 million. You know, he's 6'3", 6'3 and a half. He's 230-plus pounds, and he has a lot of length everywhere. And he was kind of used more as a, you know, that displaced Sam, like that overhang position in 2020. And you saw a lot of great things because, like, coming from depth, he's an incredibly explosive football player. He's got some zone awareness, and I mean, he strikes people in the open field. He has, there were some highlight hits on his film in 2020. Penn State used him a little more in a true stacked linebacker position this past year, and I just, I feel like his diagnostic skills are not up to par right now. I think that he kind of just, I think his eyes are a little slow, kind of working through some trash, you know, in near the line of scrimmage. So I feel like he's just a little late to a lot of things right now. But I think that the narrative's going to change a little bit on him because people are going to see these numbers. I mean, the kid legitimately is probably going to run in the 4.4s and have a close to a 40-inch vertical at 235-plus pounds, and people are just going to kind of forgive maybe some of the shortcomings. And I think that he's not a guy that necessarily we should be depending on him playing a high volume of snaps in year one. But certainly that type of caliber of athlete, somebody's going to take a chance on relatively early because, you know, that obviously all the traits are there for him to be a successful player.
All right, now I want to transition to the quarterbacks overall. Now, this is just my opinion. There's not a first-round talent among the quarterbacks, my opinion. That doesn't mean there won't be first-round quarterbacks. There'll be quarterbacks taken in the first round. But in my opinion, I don't see any first-round talent. How do you stack up the quarterbacks, and do you think there's a first-round talent?
I would agree with your kind of diagnostic of the class, to be honest with you. I think that the issue with this class is why it's getting the real blame as far as being a bad class is because I think that there is a lot of depth in the sense of there's guys that are day two level prospects that have upside. Malik Willis out of Liberty, like if you got him somewhere in, you know, the 30s, 40s range, and you were developing him behind a guy and easing him in, even if it's a, you know, Desmond Ridder somewhere in the third round or Corral from Ole Miss is a guy that maybe you take a gamble on somewhere on day two, or maybe even if you want to take one of those guys late first for a playoff team and just develop them behind an older veteran. Like that situation, I think you can have some success because I think it's a very – this quarterback draft more than ever is a very situationally dictated position, which it is for the most part at quarterbacks. But I really think this year – it's going to be very dependent on where these guys land, with what coaching, with what situation. It's going to impact everything. And the problem is that the depth that I think that it does have, there's none of those Trevor Lawrences. There's no Trey Lances. There's none of these guys where usually those guys would be down the pecking order because you have one or two guys that you're comfortable with at the top of the class. They're unfortunately getting pushed up the board, and it's making it look like this is a insanely bad class, which it's not a good class. At the top, there's no question. I do think there is some depth, though. The issue is again that teams are going to panic for quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and that means that a guy like a Malik Willis is going to go way too high. Although in most years, I think that he would be a guy that a lot of people like because he's a developmental option. But now somebody might press to think that maybe he's the savior, which I don't think he is early on, especially.
Yeah, that's what there'll be quarterbacks picked in the first round. Kenny Pickett will be picked in the first round. Malik Willis will be picked in the first round. And anybody with any common sense would be like, I'm not doing that. But you're right. Teams need quarterbacks. And, of course, we all know if he comes here, we'll develop him. Really? You will?
Yeah.
I thought Brandon Whedon did a great job. Fabulous. Well, he's a second-round pick, but still.
It happens every year, man. Like, they can fix them, right? And especially with a guy like Malik Willis, like, I get it because, you know, he has a big arm, obviously. He's incredible talent. And you would assume that with better NFL coaching, in theory, you would be able to get the most out of him. And teams are always just going to panic because, I mean, I'll be forefront. Like, I missed on Josh Allen. Like, I feel like a lot of the media did miss on Josh Allen because you don't quite understand the grasp of the mental side of the conversation, and you don't quite understand, like, him falling in with Brian Daboll and Scott McDermott and what they have kind of working, what they had working over at Buffalo was the perfect situation. So I think that those types of situations are going to make people jump at it. But I agree definitely with your premise that I don't think that there's anybody on film in 2021 that is worthy of a first round pick. But ultimately, I still think that 3 to 4 are going to get selected just because that's the nature of the conversation.
I'll say this. I lucked into actually seeing Josh Allen play a game in college. And that's why I was a little more impressed with him with some, because I watched the game. And it was because I was making a speech at the Penn State Club in Michigan, and the speech was at Eastern Michigan, and Wyoming that night was playing Eastern Michigan. So when the speech was over, I went out and watched the game and thought, wow, this guy can really play. But it was against Eastern Michigan.
Right.
And
exactly.
That to me is one of the bigger issues with quarterbacks, where I have a lot of trouble judging. Like, I can't tell you how good Trey Lance is. I still can't. Because I haven't seen him against like what I perceive to be high-level competition. I say the same thing about Malik Willis. I can almost say the same thing in some ways about Kenny Pickett in the ACC.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not. I mean, and it's a very valid point, right? It really is, because that's why the Senior Bowl was this perceived big moment for a guy like Malik Willis. And, I mean, give him credit for what he did, because the first day I thought was awful. Like, I thought he was really bad the first day.
Right.
He got better each and every day, which is obviously a positive sign. But, like, you're absolutely correct. It is, you know, when you watch the Liberty film, I mean, there's a lot of RPO concepts. There's a lot of him running outside of structure. And he's just he came from Auburn originally, right? So it's not like he's a, you know, it's not like he was a, you know, Sun Belt athlete his entire career. He was an SEC athlete that just kind of worked into being a Sun Belt quarterback, and he's just the best athlete on the field at all times, which makes you have pause, but you're just hoping that in the right situation, again, like a coach can take the best of what he is and can work it within a structure. Because that was the biggest thing with Josh Allen, in my opinion, is like Josh Allen had maybe the best arm I've ever seen. Like, that's not, like, it's easy to quantify. Mm-hmm. He's a great athlete. He's a big kid. Yeah. Like, all that stuff was true. Mm-hmm. But like, it was just such a mixed bag at Wyoming. You're just wondering, can he work in structure? I can see what he can do out of the pocket. I can see what he can do as a runner. But can you really work the traits that he has internally as a system, you know, inside of a system? And that's just kind of the question that we don't know the answer to. But I think somebody's obviously going to take the gamble there.
And then at some point, they'll do the individual workouts. And what's, you know, and what makes that comical is two guys who had two of the worst pro day workouts were Lamar Jackson and Peyton Manning.
Yep.
Peyton Manning's pro day workout was not good. Right? It was I think it worked out okay. All right. What a pleasure, Ryan. Great to have you with us on the show today. We look forward to catching up many times during this process.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I really appreciate it.